Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gary Myers is back on the bench, the longtime columnist in New York and the great author back on the bench. How did the Foley's show go that you had with Ernie Accorsi? I saw you and Rich Cimini, very popular people hanging out in a legendary establishment that has Pharrell on the bench memorabilia in the walls in there next to Howard Stern in the Foley's.
Oh, you have one of the signed baseballs up there, Scotty?
That's right, Gary. I took my game to a whole new level when I was over in Midtown, and I used to go in there and pound beers before I quit drinking.
Well, I don't want to devalue, you know, the importance of you having a baseball on the wall, but I have one there, too. So I'm not sure how much it's actually.
No, this is very important.
Sign one.
Well, I mean, don't you think that's one of the best, like, sports bars?
I love that place.
I mean, it's great. So, like, if you have a ball there, you're, like, basically legendary in New York sports lore, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, if anybody who's anybody has got a base, been asked to sign a baseball, and it's in the wall there. And that event last week was so cool. You know, they gave us the back room, and we filled it up. We had standing room only. You know, we went for about an hour and 20 minutes of Q&A, and Ernie was great telling stories about the Eli trade and the John Elway stuff when he was in Baltimore. And, you know, nobody knows more about the Jets than Rich Cimini, so he was giving a lot of good insight into what they're thinking draft-wise. So it was really, really a fun night. I did it 2 years ago with Rich and Peter King, and we skipped last year. But I'm going to try to do this every year now and have some different guests because especially this year in New York, the draft was just such a big thing that people just can't get enough of it.
I'm friends with your boy over there, Sean Clancy.
Yeah, Sean's a good man.
He's a great Irishman, I'll tell you. What a guy. So let me ask you, first of all, I think one of the worst decisions I've seen in New York in sports or politics or legally or weather or news of any fashion is that you're not writing for the Daily News anymore. What a horrible decision that was by some genius living in a mansion in Westchester. Honestly, that the worst thing they could have ever done for their NFL coverage. It makes no sense to me. I hope that my question to you is, are you going to do like The Athletic or something of that nature, or are you going to continue to write your great New York Times bestseller books?
Well, it's going to be a combination of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I'm really fine with not being at the paper anymore. I was there for 29 years, and quite truthfully, I was kind of getting tired of it and wanted to start doing some other things. So I just finished the other day a book on the Cowboys that's coming out in October that's really going to be a fun book for people to read. I have tons of inside stories there. About the Joneses and the times with Jimmy and Parcells and a couple of really compelling chapters on Jason Witten and his family life growing up in a house where his father used to beat his mother and how he's, you know, survived that and has gone on to just be, you know, a Walter Payton Man of the Year guy and stuff from the Landry era that has never been written before. So I'm excited about that. It's coming out in October, and I am going to be doing some stuff for The Athletic, but it's kind of my choice that I really don't want to do this, have a writing job full-time anymore. So we've come to an agreement. I'm going to do some real high-profile Q&As for them, which I really enjoy doing, you know, get owners and big-time NFL players to sit down with me and do some question and answers, which would really give me a chance to, you know, get behind the curtain a little bit and really bring some, hopefully some really good insight to the readers. So that's my immediate plans. There's some other stuff I have cooking, but nothing finalized yet. So I've told people, Scott, I'm definitely not retired. I'm just looking for some new adventures, and you know, I think I'll be able to find a few.
Good for you. I'll always support you. What's the name of the Cowboys book going to be?
Well, tentatively, and this is my editor's choice, and I'm not 100% on board with it yet, but it's growing on me, and he wants to call it How About Them Cowboys, and, you know, inside look at America's team, which is really what it's all about.
That's great.
So I think that's what we're going to go with, and it's actually, you know, it's not for sale, available rather, until October 9th, but it's really doing well so far in the pre-sales, which is really encouraging to me. And I think once people hear about this book and I'm able to publicize it a little bit and give a little taste of what some of the stories are, that people are going to want to read it, because everybody either loves the Cowboys or hates the Cowboys, but they all like to read about them.
Yep.
And
that's a great idea. It was a great idea on your part. What gave you the idea to go to Dallas and do this? I mean, or at least to write about Dallas when you've been so ingrained here in New York forever with these two teams here. And that, I think it's very smart on your part to do a book on the Cowboys. Like, how interesting is that? Like, what made you have that idea?
Well, I'm not sure if I've ever told you that you're aware. You know, I worked in Dallas from 81 to 89 for the Dallas Morning News.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I was there for the end of the Landry era and the first 3-4 months of the Jimmy Jerry era. And I've always loved writing about them. It was the greatest newspaper job I've ever had, was down there just at the start of the newspaper war, where the Cowboys were really the battleground. I've told people covering the Cowboys for the Morning News was like covering the White House for the New York Times or the Pentagon for the Washington Post. It was the most important beat on the paper at a time when the two newspapers in Dallas were going head-to-head trying to put each other.
Man, I'll bet you were groovy back then, Gary, because, like, I've only known you when you were, like, a dad and, like, a New Yorker and all sophisticated, and then the hair starts going gray. But when you were a freak and a hippie back in Dallas, I bet you were rocking it, Gary. Listen, let me ask you a question. Can we come back and talk about the draft with you in a minute? Can you do another segment with me or not?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
All right, we'll come right back with Gary Myers and talk about the Giants and Jets and the NFL draft that's going down tomorrow. Anyway, Gary Myers, the great writer, and he's got all kinds of exciting things in the works. He's going to be doing all kinds of cool Q&A stuff with The Athletic. He's got a new book coming out in the fall about the How About Them Cowboys. They love us in Dallas on the ticket. Gary also admitted that he was a groovy hipster back in the day.
No. You said that. I never said that.
Gary admitted that he used to go to the discoteca down in Fort Worth on Saturday nights for a little long stepping. So tell me this. You know, you said that Rich Cimini told you all about what the Jets were going to do, so tell me what the Jets are going to do first.
Well, I mean, the rumor in the last 10 days or so has been that they're going to take Baker Mayfield, but I'll believe that one. I see it tomorrow night. I still think it's preposterous to think that the Jets gave up 3 second-round picks to move up 3 spots to take a quarterback who's barely 6 feet tall. So until I hear them utter Baker Mayfield's name tomorrow night, I think they could take Josh Rosen. But all the rumors have been about Mayfield. But the Jets got to get this right. I'll tell you what. This is the last shot for Mike Maccagnan. He's drafted 2 quarterbacks, and neither one of them has worked out. This will be the first time he's taken one in the first round. And, you know, for his sake, he's hoping that Sam Darnold is still on the board. I think that's the guy they really want. But there's a good chance that he'll go to Cleveland first.
Would you rather have Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield run your football team for 10 years?
Oh, Sam Darnold. I think he's eventually going to be the best of this group. He just probably needs a little more time to sit and learn than Mayfield. Like, Mayfield and Rosen are the two guys that kind of plug in and play right now. Josh Allen's a real project, but he's got a great upside, but he's also got the greatest bust factor out of this. Darnold, I think the consensus is he's going to be the best player in time, but maybe not right away. So, you know, he's got better size than Mayfield, and I think he's got a better arm, and he moves pretty well for a bigger guy. Mayfield moves really well. I'd rather have Darnold in the long run for sure.
Would you? Do you think that Baker Mayfield will succumb to the pressures of New York City if he were the quarterback of the Jets? Would he be the new Joe Namath per se in terms of, because he just seems like a guy to me that's going to get sucked in by all of this big city stuff, and that he might. Now I'm just guessing this. We've seen him before have his problems trying to run from the popo when he got his face smashed in on the cement by the cops. Mm-hmm. He's been irresponsible before. Do you think we're going to have a mature kid that's going to like be a pro, or do you think we got a goofball on our hands?
I can't really answer that other than you think that with the responsibility that he's going to be given as the quarterback of the Jets, if that's how it works out, that he has matured over the years and will understand what the proper behavior was. One thing that hasn't been written a lot about here is being in the same quarterback room with Josh McCown will be a tremendous benefit to him. McCown is one of the best guys I've met. I can't even say I know him all that well, but just as an influence on other players and the respect he has in the locker room, I think that'll be tremendous for any quarterback the Jets wind up with to be in that same room with McCown for his first year and maybe even a couple of years. I think if he was with Johnny Manziel from the beginning, it might have worked out differently with Manziel in Cleveland. I think he's that strong an influence and that strong a positive influence that he can really help Mayfield. Scott, the other thing to remember is that the Jets are based in Florham Park in New Jersey. And under the best of circumstances, that's an hour into Manhattan. So you really got to make an effort to do that. And you would like to think that Mayfield is going to have his head in the books his entire rookie year. And not be looking to take advantage of all that New York City has to offer. Eventually, once he establishes himself, I think he can figure out his time.
I hope you're right. I don't know if I'm buying that. Like everyone I know, every weasel I ever met in my life found their way into Manhattan to have fun.
Well, I know, but you see, he's going to be getting a lot of money and a ton of responsibility, and he's had his issues off the field. So maybe he's grown up. If McCagnan's going to pick him, I have to believe that he's really comfortable with him on the off-the-field stuff and how he's going to behave. And
right.
The Jets cannot afford to blow this pick. So if there's any doubt in their mind that Mayfield's going to be a knucklehead, I don't think they would take him.
So Gary Myers with us, one of my favorites. You can't wait for the fall for his new book. How about them Cowboys? He won't even admit that's the name of the book, even though he admitted it. Let's talk about the Giants for a second. My question is, first of all, do they believe in Webb or not? Because irrelevant of whether or not they, regardless rather, of whether or not they take Shaquan Barkley, my question is, why did they do the Geno thing and never play Webb? If they obviously, I mean, to me, the average layman, I think it looks like, well, if you're going to play Geno over Webb, you just don't believe in him at all.
Well, nobody really knows what was going through Ben McAdoo's mind last season. For some reason, he actually did like Geno Smith. We can't figure it out because, you know, we had seen him play with the Jets. I can tell you this for sure, that Pat Shurmur is not happy that he had zero tape from last season to watch, game tape to watch of Davis Webb when he was hired by the Giants. And all he had was practice tape and preseason tape. That he felt that the previous administration, so to speak, didn't do him any favors by not getting Webb on the field. I don't think any decision they make tomorrow night will be based on how they feel about Webb because they just don't know. They have a mini camp going on this week, but what kind of judgments can you make 11 on 11 in shorts? I think what the Giants are making their mistake is they truly believe, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur truly believe that Eli's got 2 years left. Scott, I'm telling you, I watched him last year, and I know the offensive line was terrible.
Right.
After the fifth game of the year, all those receivers were gone.
Right.
But Eli is a player with a declining skill set. There's no doubt in my mind he's a deteriorating player. And, you know, if you're the Jets, you get to pick in the top five or six just about every year. If you're the Giants, this is the first time it's happened in 14 years. So in a good quarterback draft year, in a year that they have to find their, this would be the best time to find their quarterback of the future. As good as Saquon Barkley is and as much as he can help the offense, you can find a running back later on.
Right.
But it's really hard to find a quarterback. And fans here want instant gratification. They
right.
want a guy who's going to step on the field and turn around last year's 3-13. At some point, you just have to make the investment in a quarterback and help him grow and wait a year for him to get on the field. And I don't think the Giants are going to be doing that tomorrow night.
So Gary Myers, what is Josh Rosen has been told that he looks like a combination of Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers. I've heard a lot of people say they would take, believe it or not, Bradley Chubb at 2. Do you think instead they would take Josh Rosen and that they would go with that instead of all this other stuff?
Well, what I've heard is that the only quarterback that they would take at 2 would be Darnold. And I'm not even positive they would do that, but I heard he's the only one that would they feel is worthy of the second pick. I don't think they would take Chubb at that spot. If they get blown away by an offer, say if Buffalo goes from 12 to 6 and then tries to jump from 6 to 2, or Buffalo goes from 12 to 5 and then tries to get all the way up, then the Giants would be trading down and most likely to take Chubb. But I don't see them taking them in the second spot. Now, if this was 6 years ago, Barkley would be a no-brainer. Even though running backs have been devalued, we saw what Zeke Elliott did in Dallas a couple of years ago. We see what Todd Gurley's done with the Rams. Barkley's a tremendous player, and Giants need a running back. They haven't had a running back since Tiki Barber. So I think he's going to be a tremendous player. It's just that tell me who the quarterback is going to be once they realize halfway through the season that Eli can't do it anymore.
Do you think the Browns will screw this up like it would appear to me that they always do? Or are they going to get it right for once and have the 1-4 and rock this draft?
Well, I'll tell you this. Of the four quarterbacks that everybody's talking about in the top six or so picks, history has proven one of them is going to turn out to be a Hall of Fame player. One of them is going to be a complete bust, and two of them will be okay. And I don't think right now, as we're sitting here the night before the draft, we can say for sure where any of those four will slot into the categories I just gave you. There is no clear-cut consensus number one quarterback in this draft. In the last week, we've heard the Browns are going to take Allen, then we heard they could take Mayfield. Now it's back to Darnold. It just shows that there's not one guy that's really separated himself.
And no one knows anything. No one knows anything. Like, it is amazing to me how millions of guys, let's face it, make a living doing this now, 24/7, 365
yep.
draft guys. That's all they do is mock drafts all day, every day of the year. I respect that if you have a job doing that. That's fine. The thing that I don't respect is they're never right. They just – no one knows what these people are going to do. It's almost the greatest coup ever that they – flip the script. I got to be honest with you, with these media people that like all think they know what the draft's going to go down like, and they do all these mock drafts, and then these NFL executives just absolutely sit there and cook chocolate pancakes and have mimosas while they're making us look like a bunch of idiots.
I love the guys who do a mock draft every week. And,
right, every week for months.
Mock draft 1.0, 2.0, 2.0. I got an alert on my phone tonight from NFL.com or NFL Media, whatever they call it. Mike Mayock revealing his one and only exclusive mock draft right now on NFL Network. Are you kidding me? Exclusive?
I got to tell you, Gary, actually, if you get that exclusive downloadable Mike Mayock mock draft, which is notoriously, infamous, just absolutely huge. You will also get as a bonus at the end of the mock draft, Carver High's telling me right now in my ear, you'll get a special bonus of 5 minutes of Mike Mayock complaining about not getting the Monday Night Football job, a five-minute diatribe as to why all the analysts in football are former players and coaches and not Mike, who's clearly better and more gifted at this than everyone else, and he's very upset. So there's a five-minute tag-on piece at the end. For anyone that buys before Thursday at 3 o'clock, you'll get that Mike Mayock five-minute complaining session on the end of your Mike Mayock mock draft. Hey, Gary, I got to go.
Good luck, was it?
I got to go, Gary. I don't even know Mike Mayock, and I don't mean to be mean or anything. I'm just good at it. Listen, Gary, great stuff. We'll be looking forward to talking to you soon. Congrats on the Foley's gig. Congrats on how about them Cowboys. I love you. I'm glad you're happy. That's all that matters. I can't wait to see you do the Q&As with the Athletic. You're one of my favorites all the time. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Scott, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Gary Myers, the legendary writer from the New York Daily News. They screwed up letting him go. Nice job, you idiots.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.